I'd like to open your Bibles with me again this morning to Psalm 119. It's been a while since we were there. We're going to continue in our study through Psalm 119. We're going to begin this morning by reading verses 9 to 16. Verse 9 of 119, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have told of the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word." In our last study, as we were concluding it, we saw that there were 9 points that we need to consider if we are to be a happy and a joyful Christian. The psalmist pointed out ways in which we can find our happiness. First, he says, in the first few verses, he said, we are to walk in the law of the Lord. We are to keep his testimonies. We are to seek him with our whole heart. We are to walk in his ways. We are to keep his precepts. We are to look into all his commandments. We are to praise our God when we learn from his word. And we are to keep his statutes, and we are to cry out to God for his help. What the psalmist is trying to teach us is that if we are a totally transformed person, then we need to be drawn into the word of God, and in that and only in that will we find real and everlasting happiness and joy. We ended last time asking the question, where are you at? The psalmist is not going to leave us there, but is going to give us more direction in what he considers to be the most glorious place in the whole world, and that is in the Word of God. Before we enter into this morning's sermon, let's just ask for the Lord's blessing upon it. Heavenly Father, I truly ask that you would come and be with me this morning, especially, Lord, and grant me the ability, Lord, to speak the words that you have placed upon my heart, Lord. But, Lord, the words that I would speak would truly bring honor and glory to yourself. Lord, I pray for everybody here this morning, Lord, that your Spirit would come and take in even just one portion of this morning's word and apply it to their hearts. Help them to go away from here, Lord, desiring to do as you have commanded in your word, and Lord, desiring to be part of your Son, Jesus Christ, and being known as one of his children as well. So Lord, bless our time here. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was once a young man, approximately about 17 years old, who left his home in search of what the world could provide for him. He went to school for a year, but found no long-lasting satisfaction in what he was doing. So he left and went off to another town to work and continue his search for something that would give him some form of happiness. After a little more than a year, he chose to go back to school and tried to again find what he thought was missing in his life. This again did not prove to be of any value. So back to work and to try the world to see if he could find happiness in what it offers. This led him further into what truly the world offers and did not allow him to keep himself away from sin, but led him further astray. Upon realizing that this did not lead to any real form of happiness, the young man again went back to school, as this is what the world seems to tell everybody today, that these are your two options to finding happiness, work or school. And upon going to school for a year, he determined that his life was not going in any specific direction, and it was definitely not leading to any form of happiness. He came to the point that it was better for him to end it all and remove himself from this world, and then the battle for happiness would be over. At that time in his life, while he was contemplating all that he had done, and what little, if any, were his options, something came back to his mind from many years previously. And as he was sitting there, very discouraged and hopeless, it came to him that he had met some people many years previously, and they had appeared to be happy, and very content with life. And he began to remember some of the conversations that he had had with, and that they had told him many times that there was a need to confess his sins and to repent of his wicked ways and turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And in doing so, then one could find a happiness that had been promised to all who would do this. It was at this point that he realized that this is what he needed to do. And that is exactly what he did. He got down on his knees, he repented of his sins, turned his heart over to the only one that could make any change, real, any kind of change in his life. And there was a life-changing event that occurred that day. And he began a life of working to understand all that he had been told and all that he realized was written in the Word of God, which he knew so little of. His determination was to find that happiness that he had so long wanted to find in the world. The world only offered many different types, but nothing that was long-lasting, sustaining, or eternal. He saw a need for a cleansing, a renewing of his heart, and that is what God did. Remember that the psalmist started out this psalm speaking about the many ways in which a person could find happiness. The first section does not end at verse 8, but continues through the remaining verses of the Psalm 119, pointing his hearers to where you can truly find this happiness. The psalmist wants us to realize that there is a way for all in this world to find that happiness, that joy that the Lord has in store for us, and that no matter what our problems or difficulties are, there is a solution for them all. And this is what the writer wants us to see as we continue our study. So this is where we begin our study, in verse 9, and it asks a very simple question. How can a young man cleanse his way? This is a question that every person in this room must ask themselves at some point. Some may have already asked that question, and some may still have to ask this very simple question. But all must ask, how can a young man cleanse his way? This speaks of a person who wants to put away all that is causing him shame and grief. The way that this person is living does not sit well with his conscience or God, and he is troubled. Many in this world have the same struggle, but they have refused to turn to the answer that we will be given in the next section. All in this world are in their own way trying to find happiness, but few look in the direction that will be given in the next section. Nothing that will give them everlasting results that they need. Few have come to the understanding that we must cleanse our ways, and in so doing, there is a way to find happiness that the psalmist speaks about in the first two verses. There are some in Scripture who have asked a very similar question. If you turn to the book of Acts in chapter 16 and verse 30, you'll see that the Philippian jailer asked a very similar question when he said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There was a real sense of his need for help and a need to be saved from this present world of sin. This was the point in the jailer's life that was to make the most radical change in the way he lived. It would be a permanent and an everlasting change. He saw that his life was not in any way happy, but one of fear and of emptiness. There was no joy in his life that would come even close to the joy that he could see in the lives of the two that were with him at that moment in the jail, who were free to walk out of that prison and never return, but they chose to sit with him and encourage him to do the right thing. And if you look at Acts 2 and verse 37, we have Peter addressing the Jews and pointing out to them that their ways have been wicked and that they are the ones responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus, the Son of God. And that this Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God in heaven and will judge the world, including them, at the last day. And as Peter concludes his message, the people are greatly troubled and they ask a very important question as well. In verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" The people came to a realization that there was something very great that was missing in their life, and that they knew that they were in serious trouble, and that their life did not consist of any form of lasting joy or happiness. They knew that they had made one great mistake, and that they had personally crucified the Son of God. They knew that they had to have the cleansing of their hearts in order to make it right so that they could live with themselves and to be able to face God as well. This is the question that the psalmist wants to start off this section with. What is it that will allow a young person who has sinned, who is not in touch with God, who is fighting against God, and does not want anything to do with Him, how does he find peace and joy? The young person today is one who is tempted in many shapes and forms. There is no sin in this world that is but a click away. When you turn on the computer, in many cases just turn on the radio or watch TV. Ever since man has fallen, the imagination of man's heart has been evil from his youth. Genesis 5 and verse 3. Job also says about fallen man, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Because of the sinfulness of man, and especially the young, it is no wonder that the psalmist starts off with this such a question as, how can a young man cleanse his way? The answer is very simple, yet very difficult for most. The answer is, by taking heed according to the Word of God. The way can only be cleansed by the Word of God and through the cleansing of the heart. James 3 in verse 11 to 12 states, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? The writer of Proverbs states in chapter 4 and verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. A person with a heart that has not been cleansed will not bring forth fresh water, nor will it bear good fruit. This will be evident of what comes forth from the mouth. So when we realize that the heart is sinful above everything else, then we can cry out with the psalmist in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. When we do this, then we realize how precious the Word of God really is. Then we can see what we have been delivered from and where we now stand. In John 14, Jesus had been describing himself as the way, the truth, and the life, and describing the great privilege we have when we come into union with him. And he adds these words in chapter 15 and verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. It is the word of God that saves us, and it is the word of God that sanctifies us. Not only do we come to that saving faith through the word of God, but we are kept clean through the word of God. The opening verse states, how can a young man cleanse his way? Speaks not only of the work of salvation, but also the work of sanctification. The answer that is given is that a person must take heed according to the word of God. Hearing the word of God saves a person, and having it applied to his heart by the Spirit so that he recognizes that he needs cleansing. Without the realization that one needs to be saved or cleansed, then there is no understanding of any need to look into the Word of God. The Word of God is very plain in what we need to do in order to be saved. If we look back at Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, we can see what it is that the Lord asks of us if we are to be saved. Paul and Silas told the jailer that there was only one thing that he needed to do, and that was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Look also at Acts 2 and verse 38 to 41. Peter instructs the people what they must do as well, and they were told as well to repent. In Acts 2 and verse 38, where we begin, Peter said to them, repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. The word of God came to the people to let them know that what they needed to do. And it was very plain and simple. Repent, change from your present ways, and turn to Jesus Christ and follow him. It is when we see that need that we look into the Word. And that is why we need to take the Word and tell others about the great work that the Lord has done in our lives, in showing us what the Word truly teaches. The gospel is something that we should be so very thankful for and so careful to protect, because if it is tampered with, the cleansing that the Word can do will be hindered, because that Word has been changed and no longer holds the power that it once did. We must take heed according to God's Word and not ours. Look for a moment at Romans 10. Paul has been describing Israel's rejection of God and of God's justice in offering the gospel to the Gentiles in the latter part of chapter 9. And he starts in chapter 10 describing Israel's need for the gospel. In verse 1 to 13 it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord above of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." I will not give an exhaustive study of these verses, but can you see how Israel had the word of God, but they chose to seek their own righteousness and not that which was found in scriptures, from verse 3. But we who are of faith have a righteousness that is taught in Scripture, verses 5 to 8. And verses 9 to 13 is an example of the Word of God that can cleanse our ways. These words are what is needed to be preached today. These words have the power to make a person rise from the dead, from being dead in their trespasses and sin to rising to newness of life. Where are you this morning, and where is your heart? Do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? That and only that results in salvation. Are you depending on your own righteousness, not based on the Word of God? That person I spoke of as we opened this message was myself. I was seeking a righteousness based upon the world's theology. It was not until the Word of God came to me and showed me my sins and showed me my need for a Savior that I was able to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and He died for my sins. And with that faith, I can testify that I have a righteousness that is solidly founded in the Word of God. And I can also testify that if there is anyone here this morning who has not confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior, but knows in their heart they need to, then I must quote again verse 13 of Romans 10. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. My only comment on this is that God is not a liar, and what He has said is true. And you will be saved if you believe and call out to God for help. You need to do it now and not wait. The longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes, the more influence the world has on your life, and the further the Word of God is from your memory. Today is the day of salvation. Please do not wait. So a young man must cleanse his way by taking heed to God's Word. Notice the word young in that first line. There is a great reason for the psalmist to use this word, especially in describing how a person should be saved, or in his words, cleansed his way. The Bible uses the word young many times to describe what it is a young person should do. It also uses the word youth or son in a similar fashion. Let's look at some of the texts in which the Lord, through His Word, gives us some insight into how we as parents and those who are saved need to teach, reach out to the young and teach them the Word of God and to proclaim the gospel to them at a very young age so that they may be saved from much temptation and sin in the latter part of their life. Let's start by looking even at some of the Proverbs and some my brother even read this morning. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 2 and verse 1, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, then what will happen? Verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 3 and verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And verse 5 states, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, it says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Verse 4, He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. We see over and over again that Solomon wants the children, or the youth, to know the word of God. His plea in the Proverbs is for the young to realize the wickedness of this world and that they must flee from the sin and corruption around them. And that if they want to stay clear from the evil in this world, then they must do as he is instructing them. Solomon is trying to instruct us so that we do not fall into the same tragedy that he did in his life. But Solomon is trying to desperately hard to tell the youth or the sons that sit under the Word of God, that there is nothing else in this world that is more valuable than the Word of God and the instruction that is found as you read it, or your parents teach it to you, or you hear it on Sunday. Look at the words that the writer uses to get our attention, and these are only a few of what he uses throughout the Proverbs and various other passages in Scriptures. We find the same exhortations. He says to us, hear the instruction, receive my words, keep my commandments, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, hear, retain, keep, give attention, incline your ear, do not let them depart from your eyes. All of these are commands to the young and the old alike. God is telling us something that we need to hear, and He is asking us to listen. He is commanding us to listen. Where is your heart right now? What have you been thinking of as I have been speaking? Is the Word of God foremost in your thoughts? Or is it last night's activities or on the week gone by? God commands us to take in His Word and make it part of our life. Look at Proverbs 4 and verse 20 again. It tells us not to let the Word of God depart from our eyes. If our eyes are not focused on the Word of God, then we are focusing on something else. And if it is not of God, then it is of Satan. We must learn to get back into the Word and keep it center and the main focus of our life, whether young or old. We also saw in the Word that God provides life to the one who believes it. We saw this in Proverbs 4 that we read, and we also see it in Proverbs 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. Do you want to live? Then keep the Word of God in your heart. And just as the jailer and the many in Jerusalem did, it is only a fool that despises the Word of God. And there are many other texts throughout the Proverbs, but these are enough to give us some idea as to why the Word of God is so important to the youth of today. If you notice, it was not music, and it was not drama, and it's not movies or anything else. It is the Word of God that is so very vital in a young person's life. There is a very good reason why the psalmist warns us so much in the Psalms and why there is such an emphasis on the youth in the Proverbs. And if you'd like to now, just turn over, if you're in Proverbs, and just flip over to the book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and turn to chapter 12. Again, a strong admonition to the youth. I'm going to read the whole chapter and just quickly go through it. It says in chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.' Before the sun, the light, and the moon, and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and the mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding meal is low, and the one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road, and the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the cranberry, or the capberry, is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity." In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is, fear God, keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Verse 1, chapter 12 states, we are to remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. It is a call for us to look around us and recognize that we are not the ones who made this earth. We are but a small, very small part of this whole created structure. God is the one that created the earth and all that it contains, and we are to think on those things. We are not to let the fact that this earth is a magnificent work go unnoticed, or not to acknowledge the one who created it. Romans 1, in the beginning at verse 18, we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." All men are without excuse. Every person in this world recognizes that there is a God. What they do about it is a whole different story, as Romans continues to tell us. But for this sermon, we are going to look at the fact that we as individuals, but especially the youth, are commanded to remember their Creator. Notice that it is personalized here in this text. They are not to remember the Creator, not someone else's, but theirs. Salvation is an individual responsibility. Young people, take note of that. If you do not take note of your Creator, but continue in your own way, and do not turn to God's Son for forgiveness, it becomes very difficult as you get older, and as life processes take place in your body, it does become harder. From verses 2 to 7 of Ecclesiastes, you see that the writer describes the weakening of the body, the poor eyesight, the hands and feet that become more unsteady, the inability to hear, the inability to digest food, the watching of those around us die, the slow crushing of the body as it falls to pieces and parts of it continue to shatter and are no longer of any use, and the end being death of our body. The writer describes a picture that is not pleasant to think about, but it is true. In our youth, we are full of energy, and the problems of old age seem so far removed. But it is not long when some of these problems start to creep up on us, and we no longer can do what we want to do. The writer reminds the youth that they will not have the ability to enjoy the blessing of a godly old age and a life of strong service to God if they do not remember their Creator while young. Solomon then continues to give for us the purpose for what has been written. The words that are written in this book, he says, are not written in some haphazard way, but are written in such a way as to speak truth to us, and are put in a very specific way as to apply truth to our hearts. He then goes on to tell us that the words we read are the words of God, and they are a goad and a selection of well-driven nails. What he means by that is a goad is something that has a sharp end on one end, and it's used to cause an animal to go in a direction that we would like it to go. It's used to poke them and inflict pain so that they will not want to go astray, but will stay on the path that they have been placed on and intended to walk. This is the same for you and me. What we have before us is the Word of God. And the words that we read are meant to prod us on to do the will of God and to stay on that straight and narrow path. The word may be uncomfortable at times, but it is meant to be just that. It is a goad, and it will prick us and inflict pain to remind us to stay on that path that God has placed us on. And it may be also a selection of well-driven nails. And this symbolizes for us the scene where some are to be kept to secure them so that they will not wander away from where they are to be. Sometimes it's necessary to build a hedge around those who may wander because they need to be kept in a secure place. These images are speaking about the Word of God and how it is useful in our lives and how we need to be in that Word so that we can be kept on that straight and narrow path, and how we need to have the Word to make a hedge around us so that we do not get into danger. Before concluding this section, the writer gives us one more warning, and that is that we are not to go to a lot of different books to find the protection that we are to be found mostly in the Word of God. Verse 12 is a strong admonition to be found reading God's Word mostly, and that the many books that are out there can lead to a total weariness that will not lead to that place that God desires us to be. Young people, please take note of this. As you grow, the world has many so-called good books out there, and they can be very interesting reading, but they will only lead to weariness of the soul and will not give you that happiness that God wants you to find. The conclusion to this sermon in Ecclesiastes and to all that has been said to the young and old here today is found in verses 13 and 14. Conclusion, when all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person, for God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And if you turn back to Psalm 119, what was the answer to the question that we asked in verse 9? How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the Word of God. No matter what the world tells us, we must not listen to the wisdom of their writings, but we must turn to the Word of God and find our answers there. So much of Scripture is pointed to the youth of today, and yet so much of the youth is not finding the answer they need in the Word of God because they're not reading it. This is a very strong warning for all of us who are here today. We must instruct our children, and even our grandchildren, in the Word of God. It must be something that will surround them all the days of their life. We must want to make a hedge around them so that they are protected from all of the evil forces that are in this world. We must use the Word of God as a goad to prick their consciences so that we can keep them on the right path. So if you want to know how a young man can keep his way pure, then open up the Word of God and start reading. You will not find answers anywhere else. It is only contained in the most precious thing, and that you all have a copy of, and that being the Holy Scriptures. Remember, as we read these various passages, nowhere did we see it telling us anywhere that only some should do this. So this does not apply to everyone. The Scripture is very plain that it was written to all men, and to all men must read the Word in order to find that happiness that the psalmist was pointing us to in the first part of the psalm. Do you want this happiness? Then do what we talked about at the very beginning of the sermon. Start with what Paul and Silas told the jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That is the very first thing that all must do. And it is a command. We saw earlier that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a promise as well, in which we found in Romans 13, verse 10. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what do you have to do? Are you waiting for something else? The Word of God gives no other answer for the happiness that the psalmist is talking about. The Word of God is the final authority. So if you've done this, then you are, and if you have done this, then are you still in the Word? Remember Proverbs 4, where it stated, my son, keep my words and lay up commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. If you're not reading the Word of God, then this will not be possible. The Bible is so emphatic that we need to read the Word of God, not only to be saved, but also to be sanctified and to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ryan and myself have two things that we wish most for this congregation, and that is that you would all be saved, and that you all would be found reading and studying the Word of God. Then and only then will we be able to experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. May the Spirit grant each and every one of you that desire, and may you find that Spirit to be a great and awesome teacher as you open up God's Word. May the Lord use this humble attempt to share some of what the Lord has been teaching me. And just one other thought before we close. If you profess to be saved, are you reading the Word of God? If not, then you should be diligent to make sure of your calling and election. If the Word of God does not interest you, then check your heart. Remember John 1 and verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Jesus Christ is the Word. If you have no interest in the Bible, then do you have any interest in God or His Son, Jesus Christ? Search your heart, but get into the Word. There and only there will you find cleansing and nourishment for your soul. Then you will have the answer that we have been trying to tell you about this morning to the question that Solomon gave us as we started. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we truly thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for absolutely everything it teaches us. Lord, there is so much in your Word. There is so much yet we do not know. And I pray, Lord, that you would impress upon every one of us, Lord, the desire to continue to read, to study it, to meditate upon it. Because, Lord, it's only in your Word that we will find out who you are. It's only in your Word that we will find out what you desire of us. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly come to a real deep understanding of who you are. And Lord, that we would truly desire in our hearts to praise you and to bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do and say. So Lord, I pray, continue with us even in the remainder of this day. Help us again to look into your Word, to try and to study it, Lord, and to meditate upon it even this day. Bless us, I pray. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and to teach us. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.